enlightened by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bestows upon Christians all the enlightenment and power that they need to understand God and His principles and to understand how to live in this present wicked world. The Holy Spirit has functioned in every age. We shall see He began by hovering over the waters at the time of the creation. He functioned all through the Old Testament and all through the life of Christ. No person can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draws him. The Holy Spirit illuminates, guides, and teaches. We are going to look at details of how each Christian, moment by moment, might be kept, guided, and illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lesson number one. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, most Christians believe, is the third person of the Trinity. Now, while the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, it means triunity, three persons in one God. The realization as we read the Bible that there are such three persons is a very thrilling concept to reach. Our memory verse says, God anointed Jesus. Now the anointing is the Holy Spirit. So in these three words, we have the Father, we have Jesus the Son, we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus of Nazareth was anointed at the time of his baptism. And you will recollect that when Jesus came up out of the water and knelt down to pray, his Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit, in the bodily form like a dove, came and abode with him. So we see there together at the time of Christ's baptism that there are three heavenly beings cooperating in anointing Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was the source of Christ's spiritual power. And as the prophet and priest and king were anointed by oil, so Jesus Christ, who was the real, the true prophet, priest, and king, was also anointed by the oil of the Spirit. So oil in Scripture is a symbol of one function of the Holy Spirit. Part number one. The Holy Spirit has infinite intellect. If He is going to guide us into all truth, He must know all truth. As Nehemiah reviewed what God had done for Israel, He combined in Nehemiah 9:20 three figures of speech. He gave Israel water. He fed them with the manna. He did not withhold from them His Holy Spirit to instruct them. And in the triple parallelism of Hebrew poetry, which is what we find here in Nehemiah 9, the manna and the water and the Spirit are equivalent. They illustrate and teach the same great truth. Jesus promised that He would send another Comforter. As I have said many times, the Greeks have two words for another. One is another of the same kind, and the second is another of a different kind. There may be two plates of cookies on the supper table, and your hostess says to you, "Have another cookie." She's seen you take a cookie from plate A and enjoy it, and so she says, "Have another cookie." But your eye is on plate B, and by her statement, you cannot tell whether she intends you to take a cookie from plate A or plate B. But the Greeks would be precise. If they intended you to take another of the same kind from plate A, they would use one word. And if they intended you to take a cookie of another kind, they would use another word. So when Jesus says, "I will send you another comforter," he is using the word that means that comforter is the same as himself. He's been for 30-plus years on earth, comforting, sustaining, and helping his people. Now he promises, "I'm going to send you another of the same kind." And as we see in our note, the word he used comes from two Greek terms, para, which we use in parallel, as we see the rails of a track going in tandem for miles and miles, side by side. Para means by the side of. And the kletos comes from the word to call. It's the one who is called to walk by our side, to stand by our side. So he is one who is ready to come whenever we call upon him to be right by the side of us. In 1 John, the translators use the term advocate. Now, as parakletos comes from Greek, advocate comes from Latin. Ad is to or towards, and the vocat part comes from voco, I call, from which we get vocal. An advocate is one, just like a parakletos, who is called to us, to our side, to strengthen and help us. These terms are particularly precisely placed in Scripture so that we will never forget their meaning. So whenever we have a need, we can call to our side to walk parallel with us in every circumstance another, just the same kind of Christ, of being. Now, Christ was a person. If the advocate or the comforter or the paraclete is another of the same kind, he must also be a personal helper and teacher. Jesus promised that he would teach us all things. Those ideas that Christ had not had time or opportunity to call to the attention of his living disciples who walked with him day by day would in time be directed, guided into all truth. They would be taught all the knowledge they needed. So in order to do this, the Comforter must be a being like Christ, endowed with all knowledge and with the ability to convey that knowledge. And we use, when we speak of him, personal pronouns. The Holy Spirit is not an it is a he. It is a person who comes to us at our call. Part number two. To take this idea of personality, the Holy Spirit feels and wills and acts. Now, these are traits of personality. To establish the idea that the Holy Spirit is a person, we should make a list sometime of all those qualities that make for personhood and see whether the Holy Spirit fits into them. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Think about all the connotations of grief. Therefore, he feels. He's sensitive. The Holy Spirit wills. He distributes His gifts to every person as He wills. The Holy Spirit acts. He can direct. For example, after Christ's baptism, Christ was driven, urged, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. As Isaiah mentioned centuries before Christ, in all our afflictions, He was afflicted. The angel of His presence saved them. His love, His pity redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Spirit. Then He turned to be their enemy and Himself fought against them. So we see that the Holy Spirit is revealed here in these words as a sensitive, intelligent, understanding, deciding, willing, feeling person. He can choose, He can communicate. Thoughts, feelings, words, deeds that are contrary to God's will grieve the Holy Spirit. And those who accept Him, walk His way, learn His will, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And those who need receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. Part number 3. The Holy Spirit has divine characteristics. For example, Jesus Christ offered Himself to God through the Eternal Spirit. And as we think of the life of Christ, it was through the Eternal Spirit that Jesus Christ was conceived. It was through the Holy Spirit that the child grew. Each moment of each day, wherever he was, finally as the carpenter of Nazareth, it was the Holy Spirit that appealed to him to come to the Baptist. The Holy Spirit anointed him at his baptism. The Holy Spirit directed him to his temptation with Satan. The Holy Spirit helped him to get the victory over Satan. When it came to Calvary, he offered himself through the Eternal Spirit. His resurrection was brought about by the life-giving Spirit. So in every part of Christ's life and experience on earth, the Holy Spirit acts a very important role. The Holy Spirit, in part number 4, represents the Father and the Son. When I go away, Jesus says, I, one person of deity, He's already proved that by His life, will ask my Father, that everyone by common consent expects His deity, to send another Comforter just like myself, in my name, with my authority, to bring to your remembrance everything that I, the divine Son of God, has taught you. So we see the Holy Spirit is on an equal and represents both the Father and the Son as He ministers to the needs of God's people. The Father is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and is invisible to mortal sight, Ellen White says. The Son is all the fullness of the Godhead manifested. We could see Him, we could touch Him, we could hear Him. The Comforter that Christ promised to send after He ascended to heaven is the Spirit in all the fullness of the Godhead, making manifest the power of the divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. What a magnificent, illuminating paragraph that is. So when the Spirit of Truth is come, now where He comes is to His people. Carefully read John 14. I will pray the Father, and He will send the Holy Spirit to you. And when He has come, if I may add, parenthesis, to you, through you, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of Jesus, and of judgment to come. So the gift of the Holy Spirit to individual members of the church is the means by which the world receives the knowledge of what is right, righteousness, of what is wrong, sin, and what they may expect, the judgment to come. Part number 5, while there are 3 persons in the deity, there is only one God. Now the word one is an interesting term. In Hebrew, there's a word one that means a single unit. But there is another word, one, that may be made up of 2, 3, or more parts. It was evening, it was morning, 2 parts, day 1. There was a man, there was a woman, 1 flesh, 2 parts. And the same term is used, Father, Son, and Spirit, and they are one. So the term that is used is an enlightening term to indicate the unity in diversity. So when it says the Lord our God is one God, these 3 personages of the heavenly trio form one deity. Everything they do is in concert and in unity. Part number 6, the Holy Spirit has a personality, else he couldn't bear witness to our spirits and with our spirits that we are the children of God. He must also be a divine person, else he could not search out the secrets which lie hidden in the mind of God. We are to cooperate with the 3 highest powers in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these powers will work through us, making us workers together with God.